Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 453 of the Mail Right Show. Hold on to your seats. Grab your coffee cups. Today, we're going to talk about how to provide real digital value as a realtor in 2025. So before we dive into this incredibly meaty, amazing topic, let's make sure that all of you know who you are on this ride with. John, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Thanks, Rob. I'm the joint founder of mail-right.com. We're a real estate lead generative platform. We provide a great looking website, landing page, text, email, and a ton of other functionality to be your digital platform for 2025. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, as I get ready to introduce myself, let me just say to everybody, including John, while it's been a really difficult work day, it is my favorite day of the year. It is October 31st, Halloween. I've always loved this day. It has always been a personally good day. Work aside, I love giving candy to kids and getting dressed up in costumes. My name is Robert Newman. I'm the founder of Inbound REM. You can look us up at inboundrem.com. And if you want to learn anything about digital market, you're probably going to do exactly that. All right. Let's, John is just fucking losing his goddamn mind.
So your cat's like today as well.
It's just, he has a hard time being English on this show. I'm just letting you all know. Like, if any of you watch Slow Horses, that's John's sense of humor. What is real digital value? I don't know, John. You wrote this down on the sheet.
I've written some show notes. I've given you some topics.
You, and number one was, what is real digital value?
What isn't real?
Oh, what isn't real? Isn't. Okay, I was reading that wrong. So, ladies and gentlemen, what isn't real digital value? Well, that's a little bit subjective, but I will tell you what is a pet peeve of mine, John, and then I'll hand it over to you. I do get a little bit annoyed because I do a lot of like coaching, and some people, you know, hire me and some people don't, but regardless, I'm on the phone a lot with realtors and I'm telling them, you know, do this and do that. And then every now and again, somebody calls me back 4 months later, and what they've done is they've like copied almost identically something that they saw like a competitor do, like 10 things I hate about the city, whatever. They went down and they did their own version, but it wasn't noticeably better. It was pretty much just the same thing that they saw somebody else do. And that's a little bit of a pet peeve, because is there real value when you're copying identically? I don't know. Obviously, you and I both know that commentary video sometimes comes down to the commentary, the person doing the commenting, because some people only trust you. So if you say the same thing that somebody else said, it can have value to a small audience. But I would still say that in my brain, I'm going, I wish that they had said something unique. Yeah, that's what I got. What do you want to say about this?
I see where you're coming from. It's the best, but I always try and look at the competition, try and work out what their business model is, what their edge might be. And if I'm going to go down the same route, I try and find the top three and I try and rationalize what I've got to do to try and get to some similar level. And I just aim at that to start off with. And then I try and review it and then try and be better if I can. I'm a plodder at heart. I just plod along. Didn't always want to admit that, and it's been some ways difficult for me, but I am a plodder by nature, but I don't give up very easily either, which is a two-edged sword. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from, being original and doing something and not totally copying. I think totally copying something is something to be avoided. I think if you can do a mishmash and add a little bit of something to it, it's much better than just lifting it totally. But the thing I think there's a lot of messaging in the real estate digital area that if you do A and B and C, D will happen. There's a lot of recipe marketing, as I call it. And I have my concerns about that because recipe marketing is okay to a certain level. If your budget can only afford that in time or money or both, but it's not going to compare to full avatar marketing where the message is unique and you've worked out your proposition and done all the things that we've discussed in these videos over the last year. Did it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a couple of no-nos from us. Generic digital value, what is it? You kick us off on this one, John.
Well, it's the kind of thing that a lot of people do, and it has some value, but it isn't as good as the next one we're going to discuss, but it's a lot of what agents do when it comes to providing digital value on their website and social media. And it's like general local market news that's real estate focused, you know, where the market is, where your town or city is in the last quarter, what's coming up in the next quarter. It's community news, you know, what's going on in your community, in your town, your city. The concept around that we've discussed a few times of being the digital mayor of your community, sharing other people's content, and hopefully they will be more receptive to share your content. One of the great benefits of being in real estate is people are not bored, unless you're talking about yourself constantly. But if you're talking about the end product, which are homes, people can't get enough of it. So if you do kind of virtual tours, walkthroughs using your phone around video, we've discussed that endlessly over the year, haven't we? And then market finance, you know, where the market is, where the mortgage rates are. This is all good stuff, but it's all generic kind of content, isn't it, Rob?
It is. It is, and it's very, very tough in a crowded market to be generic. It is very tough to be a pine tree in a forest full of pines and have somebody pay attention to your particular needles. So it's oftentimes a better idea to be the lone elm tree. I've always talked a lot about specificity, and this is a marketing message that I lose consistently, John. And it doesn't matter what I'm an amazing salesperson. I'm an amazing storyteller. Three of the wealthiest people I've ever met in real estate were specificity people. Like they worked single neighborhoods or single type of property. It doesn't hit right. So many people have built their careers through a sphere of influence, talking to friends and family, going wherever to do a real estate deal. The idea of focusing on a niche is just so far outside their experience. They don't even know where to start. I was on the phone the other day with a cop and who's now a real estate agent. And he was, you know, we were going through a consultation and I don't know that it ever occurred to him to leverage security inside his conversations about real estate. was such a natural segue, and we're entering a very uncertain time. It's so easy for me to imagine, like, if I'm a super security conscious person, and he's working in Orange County, which is a fairly like conservative security conscious area in our part of the country. I was like, God, it'd be so much more interesting for you to talk about security because it's so your background, and you could just leverage the heck out of that background. And so that would be what I mean by being in Elm Street. Does every single person buying a home care about security? Of course not. But if you're the only guy that's a cop, that's a former law enforcement officer, and you're the only person saying it, I kind of feel like, well, the 10 people out of 100 where it's a really top priority, I think you're going to be the only tree in the forest they want to look at. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think that's a really great example there, isn't it? That you know, if people are concerned about security and you have a background from security, talking about different neighborhoods, different types of housing, how you can make them more secure, you have the credibility because you are an ex-police officer, and then it is a subject that a certain percentage of the audience will be interested in, won't they?
Right. And then there's not everybody in the world talking about that specific subject. And if you decide to focus on it, I could just see so many different ways. Orange County does have a couple of military bases, has a huge police force. You start going on and on and on with all the people. There's an FBI office out there. There's an IRS office out there. When you start talking about all the people that have somewhat of a touch with law enforcement in Orange County, all of a sudden you start to realize, well, maybe the audience is really there. Like, maybe. So anyway, I'm going to continue the role here. After we go to an early break, we're going to go to a break because I don't want to start a whole brand new subject without going to break. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to break a little early. Stay tuned to the show. Always offer us your thoughts, your notes, a thumbs up on the videos, wherever you see them, whether it's my site, John's site, his YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, doesn't matter. Give us a little bit of commentary. We live for it. We live for it. All right, we'll be right back.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Halloween, and we're doing episode number 453. It is a small miracle that I am not neck deep in a bowl of candy instead of on a podcast.
So where are you taking your cats out tonight then?
Tonight is a club called Charlotte Never Sleeps, and it would be the fourth Halloween event, themed event I've gone to, the only one on actual Halloween. And I'm meeting some entertainment friends of mine there who should be dressed to the nines. So I'm super excited about it.
So are the cats looking forward to it?
Oh, the cats are looking forward to me opening the office door right now because they have gotten so annoying. I can't allow them in the podcast anymore. That's their Christmas treat. But I will be giving them some extra tuna tonight, for sure. All right, the specific type of client. Number three, okay? Relocation, we kind of touched on this. First-time home buyers, military, family, kids, investors, and seniors. These are all subjects that we've talked about. A specific type of person that you're trying to appeal to. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you weren't a realtor and if you'd ever picked up a marketing book, you had a marketing degree, something like that, you would discover that one of the very, 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 very first things that they talk about in marketing 101 in any college course is understanding your vertical. Like, who is the market? Identifying the market. That's what it's called. So, and then you have something called market segmentation. which is another thing you'd learn shortly thereafter in that class. And market segmentation is where we identify pieces of our market. But here's the thing in digital, because that's what we're talking about today. Digital is really not, when it started to become popular 20 years ago, sure, you could be a massive generalist, but everybody's been a massive generalist for 10, 15 years now. That's not interesting to anybody. Hopefully, the only reason you're listening to the podcast with me and John is because we're real estate specific commentators, that we're living by this rule. We're talking to a very defined audience segment, and we're doing our best to educate ourselves and then you, so that you don't have to go out and do it yourself. We're suggesting to you that you do the same thing, that you find teachers or relocation people. If you're in a college town, for crying out loud, make some content for some teachers, for some university people. Talk about why you're fascinated with tenure, why you may go back to school and study whatever. Take anything. Go to an open, every now and again, professors do like open cattle call kind of like lectures. Go to one of those. You know, I know because I've been to one. Go to a lecture. Like, sit down. Immerse yourself in the environment for one day and make content about it. Because if you're in a town full of teachers and students, what would I be talking about? Something that's relevant to them. Teachers and students. And the only way that I'm going to know what's relevant to them is either by talking to a lot of teachers or students, seeing what they're saying online, like in their YouTube channels or Instagrams or Facebooks, or option three, the one I just gave you, going and joining in person. Like, I love the specific type of client thing here. Like, it is probably one of the most relevant things a realtor could do. And by the way, you missed a few. A specific kind of client is people looking for brand new home development in a certain price range are almost always going to be first-time home buyers. That is a specific type of client. The person who's building their future, who's bought into the American dream, who's going to look for that specific house, has the wife and the kids. Granted, they're only about 60% of the population these days in most parts of the country, but they're still huge. They're still big. They're going to fall into a certain age range usually and a certain economic status. It's the same kind of client that you're looking for over and over again. So what would you do to provide value for that client? You would go and talk about things that concern those clients. That's it. John?
Yeah, I thought your example of the show that we do was fantastic, because that's why the people are hopefully getting value from this show, because we're talking about general marketing and digital marketing principles and things in the episodes. But the reason why people are listening to us is that we have a focus. Well, and I think I get the feedback that I do get. People tend to say that they push back a little bit and say that they're in the area or where they can't focus, or they feel unhappy about choosing a specific niche. And the truth of the matter, folks, is if you choose a specific niche, you're not going to turn around the general clientele anyway. Actually, in a very strange way, you're going to attract more general clientele. I know that sounds counterintuitive, and I think Robert is nodding. Because that's how it works, doesn't it? I've found it. The more, unless you get very, very, very niche focused, you know, there's all, but in general, finding a niche, you do better in the kind of general clientele anyway, don't you?
Consumer psychology is something that most people don't understand. Number one, you make something scarce, people want it more. Basic psychology 101. Okay. So if you tell everybody in the world that you do X, but then you have 55 star reviews, they're like, yeah, but why won't you do Y? Because you're in demand. That's marketing. it's marketing 101. You always make yourself in demand. And one of the ways that you can do that is by saying, I specialize in these things. John is right. Being specific and making sure that you're very vocal about what you've done well in those categories is going to always get you more calls from other categories as well. I've got a guy that only rehabs homes that he can walk to in South Pasadena, and he's turning away deals every day, all day. Or maybe that's an over embellishment, but he's turning deals away. The funny thing is I think he's just because he's so vocal and so demonstrative about the fact he only does a certain type of real estate transaction. It is in people's nature to ask you to do something different. Now, he does this in a specific area, and that's why people want to work with him, is because they go, well, you're the guy in this area, South Pasadena. And he's like, yeah, but you're not doing a kind of transaction that I'm really super familiar with. And so that surprises everybody, including the people that are talking to him. And you get that on his reviews, like on his actual commentary from the world at large, because everybody is so surprised. This idea that we as salespeople are supposed to sell everything is false. Okay? I can't say it any louder or more in your face. It's false. Be choosy about your clients. Be definitive about what you want to service. You cannot go to Los Angeles County and sell, I sell in LA. What? Like, huh? No. Do you sell in Hancock Park? Do you sell in Mount Washington? You can do deals as for friends. That's what Christoph Chu does. You can make exceptions, but you specialize. Everybody in real estate makes exceptions for friends and family or people that are referred to them. Why? Which is, by the way, for most of you listening to this show, that's going to be about 50% of your business, is you're already working with your sphere and you're trying to learn from John and I how to do digital. That's probably why you're listening to this show. So let me clue you in. Your sphere of influence isn't coming to your website or really checking your digital channels out in the same way that other people is checking it out. Anyhow, it doesn't matter what you say on those sites. But it does matter to the stranger that does not know you. Making specialization on a website in digital format an unbelievably important thing to do. It is completely and totally irrelevant to your existing business. And if anybody stopped for a second and thought about it, John, they'd realize it. It doesn't make a difference. Like, because when we say specialize, like first-time homebuyers, military, family with kids, investors. Man, and I don't say this like it's going to sound like I'm poking fun at somebody. I'm really not. Let's just say you're Mormon and your part of your spiritual religious belief is to have many kids. Okay? That's part of what you are doing. Church of Latter-day Saints, you're helping populate the world for the Latter-day Saints. So, great. Then you should absolutely pay attention to what John said on number 5 here and go family with kids. And I would add a defining factor to that. Do they happen to be Mormons? Like, because if you're really living that lifestyle and you're doing, like, your world is about family and raising many children, wow, are you a specialist? It's not that common anymore to have 4 or 5 kids. It is an unusual thing. Which means that you know unusual things, even if what you feel like you do is mostly raise your kids. Like, even if that's the case, you have a lot to talk about. You're just going to appeal to the small handful of other people that are building very big families all simultaneously. The house has to have specialized needs. God forbid should any of your children have specialized needs. All those things are so deeply important that you talk about them as a realtor. Because what if somebody has a handicapped child? Do you have an unlimited amount of handicapped inventory? Probably not. So should you perhaps check that out and make that part of your specialist? Because now all of a sudden you do 3 cities and you say handicapped or probate or any of those things. And you really start to say there's about 300 houses I'm repping, and these are those houses. I'm going to tell everybody, I'm going to say one, share one thing, and we're going to move on to this because it's a perfect intro to this. So I apologize, John. But one of the guys that I always refer to luxury because he's a classy dude. I like him. Christoph Chu. And Christoph Chu is, has done something for years that I've said on the show before. It always blows my mind. He has six or seven areas he will sell a home in, Wilshire Corridor, Bel Air, but he's always said, John, that he's a Beverly Hills specialist. He's a specialist. That's what he always says. He thinks that he has been in 80% of all the inventory in Beverly Hills. Every single time a listing comes up for sale, every time, and he is allowed to go look at it, he goes and does a personal tour. It is part of his routine and his schedule, every single house. Think about that. He's been doing it for 20 years. When people ask him about his inventory, he actually knows what the inventory is, not just because he looked at some pictures or he looked at a video, but because he walked into the property. He knows what the drive is. He knows if the sun hits the hills. He talks about this a lot. He says that some of the times that he does sales, it is because he is able to not only talk about the inventory, he's able to talk about the drive, the weather. Do you get sun all day long in this particular property? Because he knows, because he put boots on the ground there. I always find that to be so impressive, John. Like, so impressive. That's a whole nother level of specialization. Like, tell me that I'm going to walk into every home in Van Nuys. I'm like, I don't think so. So that's a good segue into number four on your list, and you should pick it up because I've been talking for a while. Luxury.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, comparing it to my other business, my other digital business. We're involved in enterprise level sales, software as a service. And I, in some ways, I see luxury in real estate to the equivalent of enterprise level in SaaS. The timelines tend to be much longer. The amount of discussions, the amount of Zooms, the amount of back and forth, the timeline from being hired to actually the sale tend to be 3 to 4 times longer than the average sale. The upfront costs in time and just the upfront costs tend to be considerably higher. I think all what I've just said you can apply to luxury sales. You know, the upfront costs are going to be higher. The timeline's going to, not always, but normally it's going to be longer. And just the back and forth, it's going to be at a much higher level than the average transaction. So a lot of people look at the pluses for understandable reasons, and it's the same in enterprise level sales. Obviously, the profit, the financial possibilities are very attractive, but the amount of effort and work involved, don't underestimate it. And that applies to the amount of digital value you're going to have to show and give to attract those type of people.
I agree. It took Christoph a long time to get his luxury lead generation going.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons you said at the very beginning of the show, and this word implies that it's bad. You said, I'm a plotter, Robert. I'm a plotter too, John. I am. I don't do everything I should do. I don't do every marketing trick or tactic that I'm aware of. I don't work 12 hours a day. I don't fit the normal mold. This is my seventh business. I know I don't want, I knew when I started that I didn't want to work too many weekends and such. Well, one thing that I do though, that I agree with you 100% is I am a plotter. Like I do something. I just keep plugging away at it. I keep taking calls. I keep sending emails. I keep my team on staff. I keep keeping on with the stuff that I've got going. I just keep going and I figure out ways to make it sustainable. And here's the important part about that story is that Christoph was the same way. It took him 18 months to get his first lead. Now his first lead in luxury turned into $26 million in sales. Okay. I really need to make sure that you all hear me on this. Most of you don't rep homes that are 10, 20, 30, $40 million. Most of you are thinking of luxury as 2 or 3 million, if that, maybe a million. Who knows? Just depends on where you're at when you're listening to the show. But I got to tell you another story that was on this show, I think. And if it wasn't, then it was on my own personal channel. It was Gary Gold. Okay, Gary Gold took 10 years to close the Playboy Mansion, and he didn't use any digital marketing. So you might wonder why I am referencing it. Because honestly, Gary transferred his career into Beverly Hills thinking that because he's a world-class salesperson that he was going to be able to set the world on fire. The market's highly saturated. Every single realtor that is skilled, some of those realtors like Jade Mills have an actual budget that they apply towards marketing, and they're everywhere. They're on radio, they're on TV, they're in newspapers, they're collaborators with news channels, and you're competing against them to get deals in Beverly Hills. It's complicated. And most of the time sales really comes down to what Jonathan and I have just said twice. It comes down to the plotters. You have yourself a marketing structure. You stick with it. You plot along. You keep doing the doing of the thing. Luxury is the same except longer. It's just longer. It's a longer timeline. People who have money are a little bit more complicated to get in front of, and a lot more people are trying to do it. It's that simple. Really smart realtors are going to figure out ways to get in front of those people in any way, shape, or form. Jade, one of her many strategies is she puts her advertisement in the back of the LA Opera magazine. Now, I've been to the LA Opera, John, and I know you haven't, and I don't think you would ever want to. It's full of geriatrics, okay, who are all enjoying classical music. It's a dying art form based on
audience. Actually, I was a member of the Covent Garden Opera Association. I used to go once a month to the opera. Yeah, I did.
No shit.
I did.
Good on you. It's a beautiful art form, which I've been gotten into by my family, which is they're entertainment focused, and they're not famous, so everybody knows. They're more like entertainment, like they're the behind-the-scenes people, like we've staged.
It wasn't ballet, but it's the Ballet Opera House with Covent Garden. But I've always loved Puccini, and opera is such a... Yeah, there we go.
I say that because Jade puts her advertisement there. And who is she appealing to? Like, not me and my dad. But she is appealing to probably one person out of this audience is a billionaire. And we don't know it. You cannot tell, I promise you. Like, it's so difficult. Nobody's there wearing a $1 million outfit with the other geriatrics anymore. Opera has changed. It's like, but yet Jade is there in that magazine advertising to those people. And I got to believe after 20, 30 years and $3.5 billion in sales, the woman probably knows a little bit about where her market is at. And so, you know, I say this to all of you because when you decide that you're going to target luxury, and I get this conversation almost weekly, John, it makes logical sense to say you're going to go for the most expensive inventory in your marketplace. But the very next question you need to ask yourself is, who is already there? I'm going to give one last story and then we're going to call it a day. This is your bonus, everybody. I've got a story about a luxury agent that focuses on Aspen, and this guy drives me a little bit nuts. He was selling luxury real estate in Aspen for a long time. Then his wife had an accident and they had to go to not Aspen, but some like Durango or something like that. Another, but much, much, much smaller Colorado ski town. And this guy was super funny because he was a record holding salesperson and he didn't do fucking squat. No marketing. You know what he did? He skied and he fished and he hung out in the cafe. But the thing was, is that he was part of the community, the original Aspen community. He was a epically good skier. He oftentimes ended up teaching other people how to ski. And of course, he's a gregarious guy. So as they're sitting here talking about skiing, he's also mentioning, I'm a realtor. And of course, he sold, I don't even know what the number is. He never specifically told me. I did get the impression, John, no joke, it was hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate. The way that I'm telling you. Why? He had a real natural entry into the primary entertainment avenue that all these people were leveraging. And he was a fucking normal, like he was a rock star of the slopes. So everybody's sent to this guy and he's a realtor. So your kids are skiing with this guy. You're skiing with this guy. He's very charismatic. Of course he sold a lot of real estate. You got to know who your competition is. They are probably not generating their business the way you think they are. You want to make sure that you have a solid way to introduce yourself to everybody, which is what John and I are talking about in this whole episode, is the digital introduction. So when you think about your digital handshake, try to go back to your personal skills, your history. And if you don't know this stuff off the top of your head, watch some of my content on storytelling, read a book on storytelling, read a book on knowing yourself, read a book on psychology. If real estate is slow, take the time to know yourself, because when I tell the average person, you should tell a story about yourself and make that part of your, you know, your digital presence, to a man and woman, they're like, I don't know what to say.
Well, I think the good news to wrap it up, Rob, is if you're listening to this podcast and we've made you think a bit, you're going to be in the top 20 to 10% anyway, because the great majority, and I'm not being disparaging, they wouldn't even listen to something like this. They wouldn't really, it wouldn't trigger the kind of thoughts the way they need to look at their digital marketing in the way that we are trying to influence them. They just wouldn't even think about it, would they?
No, they would not. All right, John called it. We're going to sign off. I've been Robert Newman from Inbound REM. You can look me up at robert@inboundrem.com. Actually, you can email me that way. You can go to inboundrem.com. I have got 140 videos, most of them educational in nature, talking about digital marketing. I've got some reviews about all the major lead providers. I've got some case studies about people that use us for our services. They're all on our website. Go there. John, how would you like people to reach out to you?
Oh, thanks, Rob. Just go over to the mel-wright.com website. We've got great information about the platform, plus really some fantastic videos and articles and all sorts of content. It's been building up and I've been working diligently on giving you the stuff that will help you be more successful as a real estate agent. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. Well, we cannot tell you how much we appreciate your earballs. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. It makes John and I so happy when we hear from you. So please, just, I don't care what the comment is, just leave us one somewhere. We would really appreciate it. And we wish you all the success today, October 31st, 2024.